Our next speaker is Mr. Peter Szijjártó, who is the State Secretary of Foreign Affairs for the Prime Minister's Office of Hungary. I understand in 2012, Mr. Szijjártó worked as chairman of fully 8 economic committees to boost Hungarian government policy. I want to know the titles of all of those committees.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, your excellencies. First of all, I would like to express how grateful I am to be honored as being invited as a guest speaker in this distinguished event. I have bad news because the situation is even worse, because by today I'm chairing 27 of these joint economic commissions. Opposition back in Hungary usually asks how you can manage 27 jobs in one person. I usually tell them that there's a very strict secret, but I can tell you now. If you get up very early and you go to bed very late, then the day can be very long, but you have to be very careful, because if you confuse this, then it's going to be very short and you cannot do anything. Ladies and gentlemen, the title of this session today is that engaging parliaments into sustainable development. And in the meantime, we are in an event which is organized by the Hungarian Academy of Science, and it's called the World Science Forum. So somehow I try to put these two issues into one panel, being sustainable, engage the parliament or the legislative branch into that, and in the meantime try to compare it somehow with science. First of all, I have to stress that I'm coming from Europe. And Europe is the continent which is hit hardest by the crisis, which in Europe we often call world economic crisis, but we have to be very careful with that, especially speaking about this far away of Europe, where growth rates are like 5, 8 to 10%. So be careful and say international economic crisis and not world economic crisis. But even our friends from Asia, the Arab world, or even from South America usually warns us, please speak about European economic crisis. So anyway, let's put this debate aside and in parentheses, and let's say that the uncertain international economic circumstances which are now all around the world hit the European continent very, very hard. There are major and profound changes going on in world, both in world economy and in world politics. And as a consequence of that, we have the challenges which are now faced by Europe and the European Union. In this situation, all countries have to create their own and new strategies. Because what is sure that we do really need new frameworks, new tools, new kind of economic policies, because the old ones, the old frameworks, the old tools, and the old economic policies were the ones which led to the situation which we call crisis. In Europe, actually, the crisis caused a huge loss on competitiveness, which is a very serious problem, because state debts are very high in European countries. First of all, we have to adopt that one of the main reasons of the crisis was that we, especially Europeans, have lived beyond our means. This means that the way we have lived was unsustainable. If you compare the share of Europe to the world's GDP and to the share of Europe on the field of world's social welfare expenditures, then you can see that it was an unsustainable way we have lived. In this situation, we have to realize that the crisis is not something which is gonna be followed by the old kind of normal situation. We have to admit that after the crisis, nothing's gonna be the same as it used to be before. Actually, if I wanna summarize this whole issue from a point of view of a political decision maker, part of the executive branch of power, and in the meantime being member of parliament, part of the legislative branch as well, I have to say that the concept which we call the welfare state is over, and we have to really admit that. What comes after that to replace welfare state, in our understanding, is the workfare state. A workfare state which is based on merits, and merits have to replace the entitlements of the old world. If I want to speak not in a broader context about Europe, only about my homeland, Hungary, I can say that in 2010, when we took over the office, we really have inherited an unsustainable situation in the country. I talked to you before about the unsustainable situation in Europe in a broader framework, but let's see how it looked in Hungary. First of all, Hungary is a country of nearly 10 million inhabitants. And out of these nearly 10 million inhabitants in 2010, there were only 1.8 million people paying tax. 1.8 million out of 10 million. If you call something unsustainable situation, that is that kind. We had an early pension scheme which allowed, for example, policemen to go to retirement after 25 years of service, which meant that strong, healthy, active men at the age of 43 went to pension, and the state financed the pension of healthy people, healthy, strong people who were able to work more. Or there were 600,000 people living on social aid. We had a progressive tax system which said that, well, if you work more and you earn more, then you tax much, much, much more. So, you know, progressive, the tax system means that the higher your salary is, the higher tax rate you're going to be taxed. What was the result of that? It was an 85% of compared to GDP on state indebtedness, and there was a budget deficit well over 7%. Unsustainable situation. Now we had to come to a question, how we have to create a new kind of strategy. And what is the target of that? And then we came to the conclusion that the target has to be nothing else than how to become stronger after the crisis. Because you have two alternatives. One, you know, try to survive. Number two, try to look at the crisis as an opportunity, as a possibility, and try to make such kind of changes which can put you in a more favorable situation after the crisis than you used to be before this kind of situation has been created. And we understood that the more people you can ensure employment, the more people to work, and the more science-based you are, I mean, the more innovative you are, the latest technologies can be used by you. So the more people you work to work, the more science-based you are, the stronger you will be in the post-crisis world. That's what we had to understand, and that's how we had to formulate our new strategy. And after understanding this, we had to put very practical targets in front of us. And what was that? First, to become a manufacturing center of Europe, the more people to work, and number two, to put much more emphasis on research and development and innovation, you know, being science-based. So we have created, with these two targets and measures, we have created the most competitive business circumstances for innovation and science-based manufacturing sectors like automotive, electronics, or pharmaceuticals in Europe. That was the way how we have reached the situation that Hungary is now a successful country. First of all, we have changed our whole tax regime. We have introduced a flat tax, which is 16% on all personal income. We have reduced the tax burden on companies to 10% company taxation. We have introduced a whole bunch of tax reductions for R&D jobs. We introduced the most flexible labor code of Europe, which guarantees not only the rights of employees, but the rights of employers as well. We have a totally new system for higher education. Our higher education before was more or less something that has trained a lot of youngsters to be unemployed. You know, because there were trained thousands of human resource experts, communication experts, whatever. And what the labor market demand was, you know, engineers, IT experts, youngsters be having good language skills, skills on natural science, doctors. So we have changed the whole structure. We have radically increased the number of engineers, IT experts, doctors to be trained in order to meet the demand of the labor market. We have introduced a dual vocational training because we wanted those youngsters who want to be blue-collar workers for sure to have the opportunity to spend much more time in factories where they can, you know, practice what they're going to do instead of, you know, sitting a whole bunch of time in the benches of the schools at the end of their education program. Actually, with all these measures, we have created a circumstances in Hungary now what we can call as sustainable. We have overcame the crisis, and we have overcame the triple challenge which is faced now by the countries all over Europe. And this is that we started to reduce our state indebtedness, which is now 77% compared to GDP. Our competitiveness is increasing. It's now we could triple the foreign direct investments flowing into Hungary in one single year to 3.7 billion euros. And we have a political and social stability in the country. Actually, we have to admit that we have great luck, that we have a unique situation in Europe, that there's a stable government with a two-third majority in the parliament. Last but not least, to have a sustainably growing competitiveness in Europe, what we need is a work and science-driven economy, without a question. And we need the sustainable use of energy on the cheapest possible price. In our understanding, the main issue of competitiveness in the future is going to be whether you have cheap energy or you do not have cheap energy. That's why we are active partner in the United Nations in reaching sustainable development goals. That's why we have organized last month the Water Summit in Budapest. We are putting a lot of emphasis on nuclear technology. Now the 43% of the demand for electricity in Hungary is covered by nuclear energy, and now we want to increase that to 60 or 70%. And we have created a new innovation strategy, which we call National Research and Development and Innovation Strategy 2020, with which we want to reach the situation that the gross domestic expenditure on R&D would be 1.8% by 2020 and 3% by 2030. Ladies and gentlemen, we know that we cannot do it on our own. We would like to be involved in the international cooperation very deeply. For this, we have introduced a very wide-range scholarship program in which we invite foreign students to come to Hungary to study on Hungarian universities. We have a great cooperation with Brazil in this respect, thanks to the ambassador serving in Budapest from Brazil, whose contribution was of utmost importance. And now we have 450 Brazilian students studying in Hungary on Hungarian universities. And in February, there's going to be an additional 1,000 students coming to Hungarian colleges and universities. And now we are starting the negotiations today about the next program starting from next September. We'd like to invite as many students from Brazil as is possible. We do know that Hungarian and Brazilian cooperation can contribute to a lot to create sustainable structures on world economy and world science as well. Once again, I would like to say thank you, a big thank you for the organizers to honor me by being invited. And I would like to apologize for being a little bit late, but as I told you, I'm coming from Europe, which is far away from here, so I couldn't come by car, couldn't run, so I was riding on the plane. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for sharing your perspectives on the European and the Hungarian specific situation, and as well as your strategies. We'll be watching as these your situation evolves. So that's very interesting. Okay. We have